Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you for joining us this evening. It's great to have you on board with us. I almost forgot what show we were on tonight. That's why I paused. I apologize for that. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. We're broadcasting live this evening all the way out of Florida. We're in Florida tonight, so we're bringing you the show live from the Sunshine State. So I'm here, happy to be joined by some of my Floridian colleagues. Let's go ahead and first welcome Darren Deedy, all the way from South Florida. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always a pleasure to have you on board with us.
Good evening. Thank you. And hello, everybody. Looking forward to tonight's message. Thank you for having me.
Excellent, excellent. We're waiting for some of our other co-hosts to go ahead and press one. Many of you all have, and we thank you for that. Let's go ahead and welcome from the Peachy State, my state now, all the way from Peachy State of Georgia, Miss Day. Miss Day, good evening and welcome to tonight's edition.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be back again and excited about the show where Dr. Walker, and I quote, will not just be telling a story, but it will be changing lives.
Excellent, excellent. Rashe will come back to us momentarily to give us that disclaimer just a moment. Let's go ahead and welcome Patricia. Patricia to tonight's broadcast. Patricia, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome to tonight's show.
Hello. I'm Patricia Parker from Louisiana, and it's nice to be in the midst of the show. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. We're glad to have you. And we look forward to your commentary tonight. We certainly do. All right, let's go ahead all the way and welcome all the way again from South Florida. Let's bring in Poet Rosette. Poet Rosette, thank you for joining us this evening, and welcome.
Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. Looking forward to the topic tonight.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, are your standards too high for your spouse, significant other, or even your children? That's kind of serious. Missy, I want to bring you in here first. And first, let's talk about standards. I mean, when you hear the word somebody's standards, what comes to your mind, if anything?
My comes to mind to me is my requirements. My expectations, things that I like or dislike, or things I want to do or not want to do at a certain level.
Okay, all right. Standards. Okay, so have you ever been told by a significant other or even your children that, listen, your standards are too high. Can't nobody just reach those standards. You know, something must be wrong with you.
No, because as far as my children, I always taught them to always want the best, reach for the highest. And my significant other, with my husband or boyfriend, whatever, no, because I will not associate or I do not date or marry anyone where our standards are not similar because I know I would be unhappy. So just dating, I wouldn't even date after I meet you and I see that our standards and the way of life is different, most likely it won't last. So I probably won't give a chance to tell me.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go here all the way from Georgia. Again, I believe we have Ricky to the Rescue on with us. Ricky to the Rescue, are you there?
Yes, I am here, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm excited to be here this afternoon, this evening, and I'm ready to get started.
All right, excellent, excellent. We also have another, looks like Georgia number. Let me find out who's with us, and because the name is not showing up in our queue. We're going to call six numbers of your six digits, the first six digits, 772-940. Who do we have, and welcome?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear, yes.
It's Ms. Gwen from Fort Pierce from St. Lucie County. How are you?
Okay, we're doing great. What's the name again?
Gwen, Ms. Gwen.
Okay, Ms. Gwen. McLeod. Yes, Ms. Gwen, thank you for joining us. Ms. Gwen McLeod, it's good to have you with us. Yes.
Yeah, good to
see you. Okay, good. Good to have you with us this evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Dr. Walker,
how do you push mute on this?
Are you on a cell phone?
Yes.
Let's see here. It should, if you go to your main screen, it should have a mute button on there, or you can just lower the volume.
Oh, okay. Well, if I lower the volume, I won't be able to hear you. Just try.
I think
okay.
Star 6 may do it.
Star 6 may
okay.
do it. Okay. You got it?
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
If you are you gonna if you're gonna make a comment, we have you in the queue. Can we go back to you and call upon you if you want to make a comment? Or you're not
sure.
available? Okay, good.
Sure,
good, good.
No,
so
no,
we'll
I'm
call.
Fine. I just was right. pushing buttons trying to figure out how to mute and unmute.
Okay. That's fine. We're gonna actually stand by. Okay, if you're just joining us, we're talking about are your standards too high? Are your standards too high for your spouse or significant other? Are your standards too high? Darren Deedy, let me ask you the question. Let me bring you in here. Darren Deedy, have you known people that have such high standards that nobody can actually keep up with them? And we're going to present this, and we'll go to the story in about 3 minutes.
Well, I've known of, like, military parents to be a little too rigid on their children's upbringing, on how they are to perform on a daily, you know, matter as far as making their bed and what have you not. But that's the only thing I'm looking at as a high standard, or nothing's good enough unless it's an A+ or better, that kind of a thing.
Okay, I see. Okay, all right. What about you, Port Roseanne? Have you known people whose standards were too high?
Yes, I have.
And how did you deal with that?
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, as a child, as an adult.
Okay, Port Roseanne, say that again. You went out.
You mean like when I was growing up as a child or now
anytime,
as an adult?
At any time. Did your parents set a high standard? Did a spouse or significant other, anybody set a high standard?
Oh, yes. And I think that that kind of, it was like maybe a balance in my house, though, because I know like I was always kind of like a overachiever. And I remember I would be disappointed with making B's too. And so I remember my mom saying, you know, B's are good too. But my dad didn't, you know, he didn't feel that way. So I think that in some ways I kind of used to feel like I had to, you know, do like my very, very best. And so, yeah, so in some ways I felt that like
okay.
I couldn't,
right.
you know, even though I was doing good, I wasn't being praised a lot, so I kind of still feel like I'm never good enough to get all the way up there, you know?
Wow, that is interesting. That is interesting. As an adult now, how do you feel? Do you feel being scarred with any of this?
I've worked on it. Over the years, I've worked on it, and so, and then I kind of picked up on where I think I maybe started doing that, and because that was one of the things I know, like one time, a coworker of my dad's had called and said, oh, your dad always talks, you know, so good about you at work, you're doing good in school and different things. And then I remember, you know, telling my mom, well, he doesn't say that to me. And so, yeah, and so that's it. So it's like I think it's so important for parents to affirm and let their kids know that they realize that they're doing good and that they're doing their best.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. I want to go over to Ricky to the Rescue. Ricky to the Rescue, tonight's topic, as you know, are your standards too high for your spouse, significant other, or your children? Can you give us what your thoughts are in terms of a standard, people's standards? Why do people have individual standards from your perspective?
Well, I believe the standards come from a set expectation. And, you know, oftentimes we have views of ourselves that we aspire to be. In a lot of cases, that may not even be realistic because it's something that we just simply want. And in looking at that, I guess you have to look at it from an individual standpoint, but when you're in any type of relationship or interaction with someone else, you also have to try to balance it to keep it in line with that.
Okay, very interesting, very interesting. We're going to bring in Sir Ben. Benny from the Block. Benny from the Block, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you.
Good evening, good evening. I'm glad to be a part of the show.
All right, great, great. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. We're going to go right now to the actual storyline for tonight. Once again, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, are your standards too high? Are your standards too high for your spouse, significant other, or even your children? That's what we're looking for in tonight's topic. Tonight's characters are Sarah and also her boyfriend, Trent. Now, Sarah and Trent have actually been dating for just over 3 years. When Sarah decided, we're getting some noise in the background from some of you all. I'm sorry, you got to interrupt. If you know that you got something going on in the background, we're going to ask that you be so kind to mute your phone so that it doesn't come into the studio. I'm sorry about that, you all. Once again, we're going to go back to the story. Sarah and Trent, they have been dating for the past just over 3 years. When Sarah decided to call the relationship off. Now, the couple met in their senior year of college. They are both in their early 20s, and neither has ever been married and have no children. Sarah's personality is more extroverted as opposed to Trent being more of an introvert. Sarah is an independent woman. Okay, that's very important to know. Sarah is an independent woman, and Trent has tendencies to be controlling. Now, there has never been a question of their love for each other, but their views on life are quite diverse, more on the unfavorable side. Trent appears to be the man of Sarah's dreams, or is he? Trent grew up in a very rigid home where the parents forced not only doctrine or religion on them, but had him and his three other siblings on a routine daily schedule where the standards were extremely too high or virtually impossible to live up to. This caused a great deal of strife in the home between the parents and children, which has still had an impact on the children today, including Trent. Now, Sarah grew up in a home that emphasized love and the ability to exercise your opinion as it relates to your own free will or your free choice. Her parents did not force anything on them, but did require the family to attend church weekly. Effective communication in her home was essential, which made a huge difference in her personal life in such a positive way. Now, Trent recently had a very demanding talk. You got to get this now. He had a very demanding talk with Sarah while out for a romantic dinner where he had plans to propose marriage to her. Prior to his proposal, he set the stage of what he expected and demanded. Not only did he expect, but he demanded the standards to be from his future wife. Now, herewith are some of the standards as set by Trent for his future household. Number one, and there are six of them that we're going to spell out tonight. There are more than them, but we're going to give six. He will be the head of the house, and his decisions are final and no questions asked. Number two, Sarah is to turn over her paycheck. I want you all to get this. She's to turn over her paycheck to him, and he will give her a stipend or an allowance for her spending. Number three, Sarah is to give an account of her spendings and request permission before she can buy anything over $100. I already feel Miss J. I already feel you, Miss J. We're going to get to you in a second. Number four. Yes. And Miss J will give the disclaimer before we go to the first question to her. Number four, she could not have any male friends outside of his circle, okay? Number five, she is expected to do all the cooking, all the cleaning, and follow a list of chores that he creates weekly. Number six, he expected her to join his religious practices and not attend her services that she grew up in, and when they have children, and the children would do the same. That's his standard. Now, there are several other things on the list that Trent told Sarah he would share after they get married as he kneels for the formal proposal. Now he expects her to say yes to his proposal. Instead, Sarah is standing over him with her mouth and eyes wide open with the uncertainty of whether yes will come out of her, will come out, or shock and amazement of the high standards set forth by Trent. Miss J, go ahead and give the disclaimer, please, and then we're going to ask you the first question.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or leadership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you and enjoy the programming tonight.
Okay, so Ms. J, I start with you and thank you for that disclaimer. So recognizing that we're all giving our opinions here, Ms. J, I want to start with you first. Should Sarah say yes to the man of her dreams, Trent?
I mean,
you can't use certain language over the lines, but go ahead, Ms. J.
Okay. Sarah would be a crazy lady if she said yes. I didn't say the word I want to use.
I know you did.
No way. No way. This man must be crazy.
Okay.
You know, everything you list is ridiculous. He is really controlling. And, you know, you said she was an independent woman, and most likely she would not say yes.
Okay. So, I mean, but what about her love for him? Shouldn't love overrule everything else? Because, you know, we're told that love conquers all. So what do you say to that?
What love got to do with this? You want to be happy when you get married. When you have a list of standards like this that you have to obey and do, it ain't no love in there. That's control. That's slavery. That's, you can name every kind of controlling words you can think of. That's not love.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by.
And then plus some say love is an action word, too. You know, so he's not showing that.
Okay. Darren Dede, I want to go ahead and bring you in here. Darren Dede, I mean, if she's a woman who wants to get married and this is the man of her dreams, can she simply just bypass all that other stuff, Darren Dede? I mean, come on. It's like she's getting a man. Like, that's a grand thing, right? I mean, it is. I would think so. But I don't mean to say it like that, you all. I'm not trying to put us down as men. I'm
just
saying.
It's a lot of fish in the sea.
It's a lot. Okay, Darren Heaty, give us your thoughts on this. I mean, can't she just overlook this?
No. I think I've lived on both sides of the fence, you know, as far as expectations and stuff. But I think one should have self-high expectations and not necessarily deem themselves to accommodate somebody else's high expectations just to be with them.
Okay. So do you think that she should marry, yay or nay, this guy?
No.
Okay. No. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Patricia Park, I want to bring you in. What's your take on all of this here? I mean, couldn't he, I mean, maybe he could change when they get married. What do you think?
No. No, I don't think that she should put herself in that predicament because she's starting her marriage off with a lie. She knows she's not going to accept the things that she can't change, so why get into it? Go the other route, you know?
Okay. Okay, but what about if she loves, I mean, this is supposed to be the man of her dreams.
What love got to do with it? Love, you, first she got to love herself before she loves anybody else. If she don't love herself, okay, then she don't need to be with him because she trying to love somebody for them, but she first got to find out herself. She don't know herself. And and I wouldn't take stuff like that because that's not realistic.
But what if he's a good man, Patricia Parker? What if he's a good man and treats her like a queen?
Well, hey, that's something different. But how long she's going to accept that? You know, it's like she want to be treated like a queen, but she want to lower her standards to be with him. Well, if she got high standards, she needs to stick with her standards because, you know, it's not like in the olden days the women stay at home. She works. If she works and do her part, then he's supposed to respect her too.
Okay, that's a good point. Love yourself first. I like that. All of what you know, this is very important. Port Rosette, I want to bring you in here. Then we're going to bring the men in. Port Rosette, I mean, it's like, I mean, here, love is not. You can't just turn love off and on, or can you? I mean, if this is the man of her dream. And now she's standing over him. He's on his knees, humbly proposing to her. And he just set the stage of his standards. I mean, what do you think, Port Rosette? I mean.
No, I honestly feel that this is not really the man of her dreams. She has to make sure that if she doesn't agree with this, that she says no right now because she doesn't need to. Unless they can come up with a compromise and work it out right then as far as what she's expecting from him to, it's not worth it. But definitely she has to, if she's not willing to agree to those six things, it's time now to just walk away from that.
So Port Rosette, you're telling me that she could just turn it off, her love off. Well, not necessarily turn her love off, because we know that that's hard to do. But walk away from the man of her dreams. I mean, what if he tells her, baby, if you walk away from me now, you'll never get this again in your life. What would you do, Port Rosette?
It's a lie. She will. She'll find somebody better.
Right. Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go to Benny from the block. Benny from the block, let's see here. Benny, if he's treating her like a queen, even though he's got this other stupidity stuff going on, I mean, should that make a difference, Benny from the block?
Well, you know, listen, just because you treat somebody nice and you treat them like a queen don't mean you have some real narcissist type behaviors that's going on. And so a lot of times women will say, well, he treats me like a queen, but the other stuff I'm going to overlook because, he treats me like a queen. I come to the conclusion that the other stuff is going to become primary and treating you like a queen is going to become secondary, and then you're going to have real problems. So, you know, we just got to be careful with people. There's a lot of, you know, mental disorders that's going on with people. They seem nice in the beginning, but there's something else behind that. And so that's why we got to make sure we have relationships with people. We find them out through a whole season, spring, summer, winter, and fall. I want to see how you act in every season because you might be cool for the first three, and the next one, in fall, you might turn crazy. So I need to know that. So that's my take on it.
All right. Ricky to Rescue, we're bringing you in now. But Sarah's coming to you for a coaching session. She knows that you're good at what you do, and you are, in fact, good at what you do. We appreciate having you on here. She comes to you, and she's giving you these six demands, and she told Trent, says, listen, you're saying to her, what did, when he proposed, what you, she told him, I'll get back with him. I need some time to think about this. So she comes, she knows she wants to come to you and get your coaching advice for her. And she tells you all of these things that he said. And now, what advice? Give us your session with Sarah. Ricky to the rescue.
Well, I think if Sarah comes in, it's important for her to focus on the parts that she's actually confident about and the parts that she does know. So when I say the parts that she's confident about and the parts that she does know, if she knows emphatically she's not able to do one or three or six, whatever the number is, I think she has to have true transparency with herself to identify what her absolute knots are. Because now she's able to get some type of transparency with herself and she's able to start to make a decision. And so at this point, she's probably confused because, as you said earlier, it sounds like, you know, she's kind of caught in between of thinking, oh, this is a nice guy, and he's the guy of my dreams and things of that nature. But the realistic side of it is sometimes we have to have the actual visualization of what it truly is. And so she could be telling her all of these things, but what is the evidence that supports it? So it's important next to get the evidence, because if he's this great guy, okay, prove it. What is he doing? Prove it to yourself. And so when she starts to find out that it's actually in conflict with each other, what she's saying and what it actually is, she'll be able to make a more effective decision, because she may then realize to say, hey, you know what? I've been telling myself something that's not true this whole time. And, you know, it's interesting in a lot of situations like this, mm-hmm. a person can be straight up honest with another person, and for whatever reason, when it's received, that person will say, oh, no, they just talking. I don't believe it. And then when the person that actually acts out what they say they wanted, or, you know, if they had this expectation, it's like a big surprise all of a sudden. Like, wait a minute, you was for real? Yes, that person was for real. And it's like sometimes you force yourself to believe what you want to believe, in a sense,
Absolutely.
Instead of believing what's right in front of you. And so
Absolutely.
I think it's more so with her about just actually looking at the situation for what it is. And for her to provide evidence to support what she's thinking in her mind, because that's going to help her defeat any of those insecurities she have, as well as give her confidence to know that there are other options out there.
So if she's recognizing that she's confused and she's in your office and she says, well, Mr. Ricky to the rescue, and I know that you can't really tell her what to do, you basically will pose questions to her. But she wants to know, well, I told him I'd get back with him tonight at 7 o'clock and give him my answer. And Mr. Ricky, to rescue, I really love this guy. And she's aware of what you said. What is it that you know? And what is it that you are not willing to deal with issues 1 through 6? And, of course, as you said, she can't see that big picture. All she's probably looking at is her love for this man. And he treats me real good. I might lose him. What would your summary, your closing arguments be to her to try to shake her, to wake her up, if anything?
Right, and it sounds like she's given herself a deadline, which limits the effectiveness of her being able to make a decision in this situation, because
right, right.
she hasn't come to the realization of being sure. And so if it's a true situation in which you are in love with someone, right? You would hope that that person would be able to receive you when you're ready to make whatever decision that you're making. And so
uh-huh.
that understanding would have to be made clear before they're able to move on. So even though she had the 7 o'clock deadline, right, she has to put herself in a position where she feels comfortable enough to give the answer. So it may be appropriate for her to return back to say, hey, I still don't have an answer, but there's a fear that she could potentially lose him, right? And so
right.
if she's living in fear, that uncertainty could take over. So at this point, to be honest, if she's in that situation, there may not be anything I could tell her within the 1 hour that could help her move forward if she's already uncertain and has made the decision that she's going to go back and tell him something at 7 o'clock. But what I would say is this. In looking at the situation for her, what if her vision the next 5 years, the next 10 years, because now we're talking about, are you thinking that you're going to be happy, right? Or if you're thinking you're going to be satisfied, because if you can't see that vision, right, and you're having this fear, your vision can help overcome that fear, because now we're looking ahead and we're not looking in the moment. And so might have to get her out that moment and have her to have forward thinking.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Ricky, to the rescue. we're on similar pages with that very thought. Missy, I want to bring you in. She just left. Sarah just left Ricky to the rescue's office. She just left Ricky to the rescue's office. She's a good friend of yours, and she's coming by there now to tell you. She says, listen, I just left my therapist's office, and he's given me a lot to think about, and he's even pointed out what the future 5-10 years down the road would look like. And you know what she's dealing with. And so she says, girl, it's already 6 o'clock. I got to meet him in an hour to let him know. She says, girl, what you think?
I will tell my dear friend this.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm going to put myself as being married for a while and a long time, have a good marriage relationship. I'm going to say, listen, do you truly want to lower your standards, compromise your needs? I know you say you love him, but will you really be happy if you let yourself go and you going over under all his commandments? They really commandments. He took the time to write them out, dear heart, and read them out to you before he even asked you to marry him. You can see from there, you know, that, you know, this is not going to go well. I said, now, if you want to be happy, my suggestion in this case, be yourself, keep your standards, and sometimes it's best to be alone because you already see what's going to happen. You would no longer be Sarah. You would be somebody else that he has made. That's what I'm saying, my friend.
Now, right, she counters that by saying to you, well, you've been married for a number of years. You're happy, and maybe he can change. Maybe he can change, you know. Maybe
darling, a man took his time like it's a job, and he wrote down these commandments to you.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't count on that change. You know, you do what you want to do, but I'm just asking you, do you want to give yourself up? Because that's what he's asking you to do. You know, it's no change. You are young. This is your first love. You know, is that what you really want? I'm going to give her something else to think about.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Benny from the block, let's bring you in here, and we're going to get to some of the comments. We're already halfway through the program, and it's almost over, and we got still a lot to cover. Benny from the block, I want to bring you in here, and I want to ask this question to you, and that is, I mean, you know, do you personally think that Trent's standards are actually almost virtually impossible for anybody to keep up, to live by? Do you really think they are?
Well, I hate to say this, but there's somebody out there who's willing to do that. There are people who need that kind of affirmation and direction and focus. There's somebody out there who's willing to do that.
Wow, that's interesting. That is so interesting. So let me bring Patricia Parker in. Port Rosette, we're going to get to you in a moment. Ms. Cross, we're going to get to you as well. Port Rosette, Patricia Parker, I want to bring you in here and ask you the question. I mean, Benny from the block said, and there are people that would subscribe to this because they want to get married. That's the man of their dream. And they figure he'll change. Patricia Parker, I mean, looking at this stuff, I mean, I can't possibly understand what person, whether male or female, would adhere to standards such as these. He says, okay, we understand the man, the household part, but he says the final decision is his, and there's no questions asked. Mrs. Parker, can you be okay with that? He says, you listen, I'm the head of this house.
No.
And my decision is the final decision, and don't you ask me no questions about that. Why not, Patricia?
Okay. Okay. Any marriage that's going to work, you have to start off correctly. And if you want to bow down to a person, you know, that's you. But I feel that no woman should have to bow down like that, because we're not at the ceremony with these vows saying, I'm going to let you be. Well, the Bible says the man's the head. But I have no problem with the head, you know, no problem with that part of it. But I have a problem with the demands, you know. He don't tell you to be a demanding person, you know. That's the problem I have with. I'm an equal person, you know.
Right.
You know,
and that's
whatever
where it should be.
Whatever. Uh-huh. I want to be equal, and if whatever we got to do it, let it be a conversation, not just a voice, one voice. And no, I don't believe in one person trying to tell me what to do. You know,
okay.
Because I feel that the table is there, and due to the change of the economy, that you have to work and help out just like they have to work and help out. So I feel that communication is a big issue. You know, you got to learn to communicate, not tell me what to do, but how to do it. But, you know, let's talk about it. You know, that's the way I feel about it. You don't just tell me I'm gonna do this and do that, because that's like slavery days over with. You know, we not people that's going to just bow down all the time. And you can bow down if you're a man enough to take care of the household and the woman don't have to work. That's good. I understand that. You know, but you. The economy is too expensive for that, huh?
Okay, so Patricia Parker, are you saying if she didn't work and he took care of everything, it's okay to accept his standard? I don't see that.
No, it's not. No, I don't. No, it's not. It's never okay to accept his standards, because for one thing, you got to start a relation out the right way. You know, you can't. Go back on, if I accept you for what you say, I need to accept you all the time, you know. But you got to start off with communication. That's what I'm saying. You got to communicate.
All right.
And
excellent.
And you got to be able to communicate and to agree on stuff, you know. If you can't talk about it, you know, it eventually is going to start a big war, you know. Because
it will.
Eventually,
mm-hmm.
That person is going to wake up, and they're going to say they don't want to do that no more. And to me, that's not the love of your life. That's the love of his life, because he's doing all his demands, and everything he wants is what he wants
right.
to do. But that's not that's not the love of that other person's life.
Right.
Because
and you're absolutely right. Uh huh.
Yeah, and he can go, and I mean, he or she can go out and find somebody almost to her standards, you know, because you don't make the love of your life be what he wants you to be, you know,
right.
Because, you know, we're all human.
Absolutely,
we all make
absolutely. And I like... I'm sorry,
yeah,
I didn't mean to cut you off. We all, and I like what you said, that she needs to be treated as an equal. I like that. We're going to move on now, Patricia Park. We're going to ask you to stand by, though. Port Rosette, I want to bring you in. Here's another one of his standards. And I can't believe that the women didn't – I know Miss J over there is probably like, let me just stab him right now. Because he's saying in the second standard, he said, turn over your paycheck to him, and he will give her an allowance or a stipend. Port Rosette, I mean, can you even respond to that? Turn over your paycheck, and I will give you an allowance or a stipend. Your thoughts on that? Poor Rosette, perhaps she is not. Poor
Rosette. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was muted. Sorry.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I honestly don't know why he would even think that way. So, but yeah, so definitely, I don't even understand why he would think that I need to turn over my paycheck to him, because I honestly feel like to balance the power in a relationship, if a woman is a stay-at-home mom, I feel that he should be putting a certain amount of money into the household account for her to pay, you know, different bills that are going out and stuff, because if not, then it's just too much control on his part.
Right. Okay. We're going to ask you all to stand by. We're almost out of time now, you all. We got about 20 minutes before we close the show out. Let me go in. We got to take some of the comments that have come in. Ms. Jay, I want to give you the first comment. And we're going to ask if you all could please, please, please possibly confine your comments to about 15 seconds or less, because we're going to try to get to as many as we can tonight. We've been running out of time and trying to get to the comments. So 15 seconds or less. Ms. Jay, the first one goes to you. This comment, she says, reference to, are your standards too high for your spouse, significant other, or your children? She says, I had to leave my 3-year relationship with this guy because he expected perfection from me when he was not perfect himself. Perfection does not exist out here. Otherwise, we'd all be in heaven. Ms. Jay, what do you think about that? She said we'd be in heaven if perfection existed.
Yeah, this guy was being very unrealistic. And, of course, you know, they probably have a lot of complications, problems with that, because, like you said, no one is perfect. And he's being unrealistic with that. So, you know.
All right. We're going to go to Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, this guy writes in. He says, I learned this the hard way. Unfortunately, when I took on my religious practices to such a high standard for my wife and kids, everything in my house was basically, no, we can't do this or that. Eventually, my wife took the kids and left me to begin a life of joy and not rigidness. I think we have to be careful with our don'ts and exercise more of our do's. She never came back to me, and I've been missing her for the past 12 years. Darren Deedy, what do you say? Should he try to get her back and say, I'll change? It's been 12 years.
I would, if there's something there to work with. Obviously, they should have went through some kind of a counseling of some sort. I would say that you always have to try to fix a relationship before just giving up on it.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Benny from the block, I want to bring you in here with the same question. I mean, he said that, you know, he was so rigid with his religious practices and everything else. He concentrated more on what you can't do versus what you could do. He said now if he had to do it over again, he concentrate more on exercising what you can do as opposed to what you can't do. What are your thoughts on that? And he wants her back after, you know, he's been waiting 12 years. I can't see that woman, with all due respect, and this is my opinion, I can't see her going back to him like that. 12 years later, I hope she's happy wherever she is. Sir Benny, what are your thoughts?
Well, I've learned in life that you can't help who you love, and you love deeply for whom you love, even though it seems crazy, odd, and foolish to us. But we got to remember something. People do see their stupidity and their stupid ways. And if we're growing and we're learning, then, yeah, he can change. He can be a better person. I've experienced that. I'm sure everybody on this line experienced them. We had some stupid, crazy ways in our past that we have now grown past that now. We are better, more mature, more developed, more rounded people. So, therefore, I don't necessarily say that she should go back to him, but I think she should look at him and see maybe he's the man that she always wanted him to be, and maybe he looks at himself and says, this is the man I'm supposed to be. So I would consider, if she was, she could consider it.
All right. Rick to the Rescue, we're going to bring you in, give you a commercial break at this time, and then we're going to have you close us out in about 15 minutes or so. But go ahead and give us your commercial break, then that's going to be followed by, we're going to bring in Marjorie Cross and give her a commercial break. Rick to the Rescue.
Yes, good evening, everyone, again. I am Ricky to the Rescue, founder of A Path to Greatness, LLC, located here in Decatur, Georgia, where we provide life coaching services to individuals in need, which includes conflict mediation and anger management services. You can visit the website at twogreatness.com That is the number 2greatness.com. Also, you can reach us at 404-968-9940. Again, that telephone number is 404-968-9940. Give us a call so we can get you scheduled for your first coaching session.
All right. Excellent. Rick to the rescue. While I've got you here, just 15 seconds or less. My opinion is, I mean, I'm going to ask you now, do people change? My thoughts on that same question, do people change? Yes, people can change. But oftentimes in my experience with people and my training is people have to experience something traumatic or dramatic to make certain changes. In a situation like this one here that we just posed, the comment that came in, if he's been waiting for 12 years, maybe he could be that changed individual. But the question that I pose to you, Rick the Rescue, is, should she take that risk if she's available and she's not involved in anybody, take that risk to go back to the father of her children after 12 years?
Oh, that's a humongous risk.
I agree with you.
You could be trading one thing for something that's worse. And so, you know, she has to be very careful in making that type of a decision because, you know, it could look good, it could sound good, it could feel good, but it could actually be worse. And so, you know, in that situation, you know, it's like she can be looking towards that to almost as the saving grace just because it's available. And that happens a lot of the times.
Right. And then from one therapist to another, you know, and you're saying that this could be worse. And I agree with you. And I think we all should take heed to what we're saying here. And, of course, we're registering our opinions. But situations like this are what can often also turn out to be fatal. Because if this man is that obsessed with wanting to have her back after 12 years and he hasn't moved on with his life and let's say that she has, the risk, you know, it's almost like law, you know, when you talk about probative values, you know, the probative value of going back may be greater than the risk of staying away from him. And my thing is try to be friends, not even best of friends. This is just my thoughts now, being friends because you got the kids in common. But outside of that, I would not encourage her to go back to this guy. Rick to the Rescue, your final thought on this particular issue. Would you see it differently?
Well, not necessarily differently, but what I did want to say, a lot of the times when people are faced with decision-making, there's techniques that you can use, and one of the most often techniques that's used is to use a decision-making model. And the first thing you do is identify the problem. And there's where the issue actually lies in a lot of situations. Because this problem that she could have is the fact that she has not even placed herself in a situation where she overcame the reasons why they didn't work the first time, right? But she may be seeing the problem as, oh, I need to be with somebody, or I have to be with someone. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it really lies at, in identifying what the actual problem is. And then she would be able to make a more effective decision moving forward from there.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to actually stand by. Let's go here now and bring in Marjorie Cross. Let's give you your commercial break, and we're almost out of time. We got to get to some more before Rick to the Rescue closes us out. Marjorie Cross.
My health and wellness consultant. With one of the most leading companies in the world. We're A-plus on the Better Business Bureau, and we have many health products, over 150 health products that may be able to help you. Collagen, adaptogen, a lot of different products. But you can visit my website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info, and you'll see we offer a lot of other products also. And my telephone number is 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. Thank you, Dr. Walker, and welcome September. Hey, happy birthday to everyone who have their birthday in September. God bless you.
Thank you, Ms. Cross, as we go on now. We've got just a couple more comments that we're going to take from studio tonight. Let me go with Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here and allow you to give your thoughts on this, and we're going to come back to Patricia Parker momentarily. Let's go here with this next comment that came into the studio, and that question is in reference to Sarah and Trent. Darren Deedy, she says, I remember growing up in a home where my parents would not allow me to do anything at all. It was like living in a prison. I personally think there needs to be balance in any home or relationship. I am distant from my parents even to this day. Darren Deedy, couldn't she just forgive her parents? I mean, she's an adult now. Couldn't she just keep it moving?
Yeah, as an adult, and she'd feel much better if she just forgave them, give her more of a peace in her heart. And just know that it wasn't right and that she lives her life the way it should be. But, yeah, she should forgive them.
All right, Patricia Parker, I'm going to bring you in here. 15 seconds or less, if you would, please. This mail, he says, I think my wife and I actually ran our three children away because we thought we were doing the right thing by always forcing them to go to church and other things at home, even in their teenage years. The mistake I think we made was not giving them choices in their teenage years or respecting their opinions. Yes, our standards were too high. Do you think, Patricia Parker, do you really think that their standards were too high because they were forcing their children to go to church? They were always making them do things, their chores, everything. Is that they don't respect the children's opinions, even as they're teenagers? They didn't even have an opinion. 15 seconds or less. What do you think?
I think the standards was not too high because if you don't raise a child the way that they should come up, they won't be anything in life. Because at the end of the rainbow, the children gonna be more thankful for it. They think it's ridiculous now, but you know.
All right, we're gonna ask you to stand by. Port Rosette, I want to bring you in here with the same one because you started alluding to say something along the lines with your own experience. Do you think if you're a teenager, I can't see a parent not allowing you to have an opinion.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
That's
no
what Port Rosette. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Yes, I feel that it's important to have those discussions with your teenager. Because that would be not only a chance for them to, you know, express how they're feeling, but then you would have an opportunity to express how you're feeling, too. It could be like a mutual exchange, and then that will help them to understand more about how to communicate and how to get their point across, even, you know, with a future spouse. Because if not, then they may end up just kind of being like a passive kind of person and just kind of go along with, you know, what somebody is saying, and instead of them having, you know, even though you the two of you, you know, as parents and kids, y'all may not even agree about it, but still, you could be able to discuss a topic, and then, you know, they can say their reasons why they feel that way, and and I feel that it'll just be preparing them more for marriage and for the life that they're going to have as adults, you know?
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by on that note. Being from the block, 15 seconds or less, let's bring you in here. Ms. J, we're going to get to you with the other comment before Ricky the Rescue closes out. Female, she writes in, she says, I wanted my kids and husband to be up to my standards, and it was driving our household crazy. One day my teenage daughter told me that everybody can't be you, Mom, and your standards or expectations are just too high. She further went on to say, maybe we don't want to be a clone of you, and should have a right to our own lives. Wow. It was an eye-opener for me, she says. I wondered if my daughter was right. She wondered if her daughter was right, Benny. Everybody don't want to be a clone of her. They have a right to their own lives. How do you feel about that?
Well, as a parent, we have to always remember we want our children to be better than what we are. But sometimes we get so stuck in who we are, we try to imprint who we are onto them. they don't need our imprint. They just need us to be a good example for them. And if we have taught them the way that we should and the way that it should go, we don't need to worry about what they're going to come out to be. If greatness is already in us, we've implanted that into them too, and we don't need to direct their path. Everybody's journey is different. So go be free. Let them be free to be who you allow them to be.
Okay, absolutely, absolutely. Michelle, we're going to bring you in here for this final comment. Let's see here. We're trying to go to the phone lines once again. We've lost that party. Michelle, we're going to bring you in here for the final comment. And that comment, in your thoughts, she said, this male, he writes in, he says, this story tonight is my story. If I could only turn back the hands of time, I would do just about everything differently, especially when it came to be to the one true love of my life, my ex-girlfriend. Instead of me being patient with her, I told her that we could only get married if she joined my religion and there were no other options. She loved me, but felt like I infringed on her free will or free choice by threatening her with my way or the highway. She chose the latter, and I'm saddened and would love to have her back after 5 years. Miss J, do you feel sad for him?
No, I just tell him, lesson learned for your next love.
But the thing is, Miss J, it's like Benny said earlier, sometimes you can't help who you love, and you love so deeply. So the thing becomes, it's like he's sitting there. I mean, you're saying lesson learned, you know, go on to the next love. But it's like Percy Sledge. Remember Percy Sledge, what he said? Miss Jane?
With a man love a woman? No, they
yeah.
That's right.
That's it. That's what he said.
You know,
he'd
give up his
last.
Like you, right.
He'll sleep out in the, he said he would sleep out in the rain or the cold, right? Miss Jane, you're not a
you
man.
Know,
so.
You know, it's been 5 years, so that lady might not even be available now. And if she is, I'm sure she's moved on. So, you know, he just needs to get with the program, get himself together, and learn from her bed. Just keep it on, keep it moving.
Miss Jay, come on, give him
keep
some
it moving,
kind of benefit
keep
of
it moving.
It's hard
you know
out
what?
Here. Uh-huh.
You know what I tell my daughter? So I said, don't recycle men. If it didn't work out the first time, don't recycle them thinking it's going to work out again.
Ms. J, I can always count on you to learn something new. I got to use that one. Don't recycle. Oh, my goodness, people. You know what? We're clearly out of time. We're going to turn it over to Ricky to the rescue. Oh, my goodness, Ricky to the rescue. I mean, here it is. Our standards too high, you know, for people's significant other, their spouse, their children. I mean, everybody has a standard, Ricky, to the rescue. So how do we deal with this? But are some standards common? Or is it just some people are extremists and they're too high? Close us out, Ricky, to the rescue.
I'm glad that you posed the question in that way because I think it's important to be able to separate the standards from the expectations or the standards versus the demands, because when we say standards, standards are things that's generally accepted, right? And it's more of an external thing in as an example of what's the standard for marriage or whatever the specific standard is widely accepted. Whereas when we start talking about an expectation or a demand, that's internal. That comes from someone else's interpretation of what they specifically and individually think something should be. And so if you find yourself living or if you find yourself being involved in someone else's expectations, more than likely it's not going to be your own. And so you're going to have to change your expectations or you're going to have to modify some of the things that you're doing in order to fit with them. However, in this story that was shared today, it was lopsided. We only heard his expectations. We didn't hear her expectations. And so the question becomes, how do we balance our expectations together? And so if that is a situation where that could be done, I think we could have had a happier end to the story because even though she was shocked by his expectations, what if it was turned around and she was able to give her expectations and now he's shocked? So it would probably be a situation where both of them could be saying, oh, we're not ready. And if they're both able to have that honest conversation to say that we're not ready together, then they can start from ground zero and build up. And so it's important to try to find a baseline, per se, and be able to build upon that, because it's, nothing is lopsided. If something is lopsided, it's never going to work because only one person is getting their needs met. And so in closing it out, it's really about trying to balance whatever you have in your mind, your expectations, or if you call it a standard, or whatever you call it in your mind, how do you balance it with the other person you're interacting with? Because you have to have the end in mind. When I say have the end in mind, you have to have the forward thinking to think to yourself to say, well, if it's an expectation, can I maintain this expectation? Because people grow and people change. And so if you can't maintain and if you don't have an end in mind to say, I will be able to do this and continue to do this, then you have to start looking within yourself to say, if this is realistic for me to continue. And so as I close, there's just some thoughts to think about. And I think we get caught up a lot of times in thinking situations are going to get better based upon just us hoping and not looking at the evidence. So stick with the evidence. Also, I don't want you to give up. It's okay to be hopeful, but you also want to be able to stick to the evidence because that's what's going to support you in moving forward.
All right, excellent. On that note, we're clearly out of time. We're going to ask that you all go to the website and subscribe with us for our weekly newsletter. It gives you these stories. And, of course, all the stories are inspired by true stories. Listen, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight. We appreciate each one of you giving your commentaries on tonight's program. Please join us here tomorrow night when we've got a topic that's very similar, but it goes to a higher order of business, because tomorrow night's question is, are God's standards too high for man to live by? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. Tomorrow night's topic, once again, are God's standards too high for man to live by? If you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program, we're going to ask you to join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Until tomorrow night or until next week, I want to say to my listeners, we're going to be bringing you a show live. We're here in Port St. Lucie, Florida tonight, but tomorrow night we're going to be bringing you the show live. We're traveling quite a bit, and tomorrow night we'll be bringing you the show all the way from the Disneyland, not Disneyland, but Disney World area, Orlando, Florida. So we're making our rounds. So we want to thank all of you all. Join us here next week. Until next week or until tomorrow night, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker, and good night, everyone, and thank you, Ricky, to the rescue. Great closing as usual. Keep safe, everyone, and keep well. Thank you. Love you all. Bye. Great show, as usual.